The premise of this morning's cartoon, at least according to Hagar the Horrible, is that if someone knows everything about you, if someone knows your deepest, darkest secrets, if someone knows those habits that we will never see in the light of day, if someone knows the you who is only behind closed doors, everything, if they know everything about you, they cannot possibly be your friend. Cannot possibly love you. That's what Hagar the Horrible believes. And that's what O'Shea Israel believed. You see, O'Shea, when he was 16, went to a party in Minneapolis and a fight broke out. And out of his back pocket, he drew a gun and fired it and took the life of another teenager whose name was Laramian Bird. O'Shea was tried and convicted in a court of law and sentenced to over 30 years. He served 15. But in the 12th year of his service, in the 12th year of his incarceration, he met the mother of the young man he had killed. Mary Johnson decided she wanted to come to the prison and learn a bit about this hardened criminal who had taken her only child, denied him his life. She believed she knew everything about O'Shea. Believed she knew that there was nothing redeemable in this young man. Believed that he should be locked up for life. She believed that, and she came to the prison to confirm her beliefs. She believed, so she could not love him. But for the next 3 minutes, let me share just a little more about their story.
You and I met at Stillwater Prison. I wanted to know if you were in the same mindset of what I remember from court, where I wanted to go over and hurt you, but you were not that 16-year-old. You were a grown man. I shared with you about my son.
And he became human to me. You know, when I met you, it was like, okay, this guy is real. And then when it was time to go, you broke down and started shedding tears, and the initial thing to do was just try to hold you up as best I can. Just hug you like I would my own mother, you know.
After you left the room, I began to say, I just hugged the man that murdered my son. And I instantly knew that all that anger and the animosity, all the stuff I had in my heart for 12 years for you, I knew it was over, that I had totally forgiven you.
As far as receiving forgiveness from you, sometimes I still don't know how to take it because I haven't totally forgiven myself yet. It's something that I'm learning from you. I won't say that I have learned yet because it's still a process that I'm going through.
I treat you as I would treat my son, and our relationship is beyond belief. We live next door to one another.
Yeah, so you can see what I'm doing. You know, firsthand. Mm-hmm. We actually bump into each other all the time, leaving in and out of the house. And you know, our conversations, they come from, boy, how come you ain't called over here to check on me in a couple of days? You ain't even asked me if I need my garbage to go out.
Uh-huh.
I find those things funny because it's a relationship with a mother for real.
Well, my natural son is no longer here. I didn't see him graduate. You know, you're going to college. I'll have the opportunity to see you graduate. I didn't see him get married. Hopefully one day I'll be able to experience that with you.
Just to hear you say those things and to be in my life in the manner that which you are is my motivation. It motivates me to make sure that I stay on the right path. You still believe in me. And the fact that you can do it despite how much pain I cause you, it's amazing.
I know it's not an easy thing, you know, to be able to share our story together. So I admire that you can do this.
I love you, lady.
I love you too, son.
Those words say they still live next door to each other. Mary Johnson is an amazing woman. Even though she knew everything about O'Shea, even though she knew what he could do in his worst, most inhuman place, even though he had caused her great pain, did you hear what he said to her? You still believe in me. You still believe in me. And there is a story in our biblical text that makes Mary an earthly manifestation of a heavenly promise. You see, that night that we call the Last Supper or the First Communion, this table was originally set. Jesus had gathered all of those disciples, all of those ones that he had walked with for 3 years. They had seen him raise the widow's son in Nam from death to life. They had seen on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus step out and talk to Moses and to talk to Elijah. They had seen him heal and cause the deaf to hear and the blind to see for 3 years. Miracle after miracle, they had seen it. He gathered them at this table and he said, I have eagerly desired to eat this meal with you before I suffer. I'm going to suffer, and out of my suffering, here's what I want you to know. Never again will you be broken down by sin, because what I'm about to do will erase sin. Never again will you be burdened by guilt, because what I'm about to do is the great cleanser for guilt. Never again will you have to believe you are unworthy of God's love, because by my act, God's love becomes unconditional, unending, and yours for the taking. He gathers them around this table with a message of hope and love. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the supper, after he has told them what is to happen next, if you read the part that we skipped this morning, you'll see that they break out in an argument about who's to be the greatest. And then after that, he says to Peter, Peter, the evil one has asked to sift you like wheat, to take you apart. And I have prayed for you that your faith won't fail. And when you turn back, oh, please notice this. The God who is made flesh in Jesus at that table looks at Peter and says, I know before the cock crows you're going to betray me. I know you will deny knowing me, walking with me, having anything to do with me. I know when I need you the most, you will scatter and run. And not but, not ignoring all of that, and not but, not diminishing that he knows everything about him, and when you have turned back, not if, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus knew everything about Peter, everything that he was going to do, and yet he could still look at him and see in Peter what God had created him to be, a vessel of love and hope and power. See what God had created Peter to be, a change agent in the world. Why was Jesus able to do that? Paul gives us that answer. Nothing, not heights or depths, nothing, not things present or things to come, nothing, not angels or demons, nothing in all of creation can separate you from the love of Christ. Why was Jesus able to look at Peter and say, and when you turn back? Why is Mary able to look at O'Shea and say, I've forgiven you and I treat you like my son? Because they are filled with an amazing power, a power that is not ours, but comes from God and fills us. Beloved, just like Mary sees O'Shea, just like Jesus sees Peter. The God who created us, the God who loves us, sees you and me. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing you have done or will do, have thought or will think, can separate you from God. But here's the rub. Did you hear what O'Shea said? Sometimes I can't accept it. Sometimes I can't receive it. He says to Mary, I don't want to lie to you. I sometimes can't believe that there's enough love in the world that the woman whose son I murdered might welcome me as a neighbor and call me son. Mary responds to him and says, I treat you like my own child. And that's what we are to God. If an earthly woman can look past the sin, can look past the error, can look past the hate and the wanton disrespect for life, if an earthly woman can look past the sin and say, you are my child, imagine what a heavenly parent can do. The God who sits high and looks low looks down on us and says, I love you with an everlasting love. God who sits high and looks low and sent his son to walk with us in flesh says nothing you can do. And the task, the challenge is for us to believe it. Can you look in the mirror and say, I am God's beloved child and nothing about me will move me out of God's love? When you've made the biggest mistake, and Ted Newman once reminded me that a mistake is different from sin. So when you've made the biggest mistake or you have boldly entered into a place of sin, can you still look up and say, I am God's beloved, and not even this will create a gulf between me and my God that God's love cannot bridge? Can you and I believe that God's love is stronger than even Mary's love for O'Shea, that God's love is a crazy, unbelievable kind of love? My granddaughter yesterday, who's 2 and a half, slapped my hand. I was taking something from her because she was about to go down the steps and she had liquid in a cup. And I reached around her and I took the cup so she could hold on to the banister and she slapped my hand. Now, I have a couple of reactions to that. I did not slap her hand back. I have to tell you, I did think that. Instead, I walked in front of her and I said, Caden, I love you and I don't want you to fall. And Grandma Z knows that you could fall. So you hurt my hand while I was trying to help you. She kissed my hand. And for the rest of the afternoon, that she had slugged me was gone. It wasn't there. She didn't remember it. And I thought, oh God, that when we do something willfully wrong, when we step in your face and essentially slug the divine face, can we receive your instruction and remember that you love us still? Beloved, love set that table. Love invites us to come. Love says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Love says, I have taken your transgressions and put them as far from you as east is from west. Love says, come. Come. God's crazy love. Love that's stronger than sin. Love that's stronger than error. Love that's stronger than anything we might imagine. Oh God, we give you thanks for the evidence of love in Mary Johnson's life. But we're grateful all the more for the one who created Mary Johnson. That love flows straight from heaven through the gift of the Son into us and is forever our legacy, our right teach us as you are teaching O'Shea to open our hearts and receive it, that we might be transformed and sent into the world, vessels of your love to share wherever we go. Feed us now at your table that we might be strengthened and reminded of this love. Feed us now at your table that we might be your love in the world. Oh God, we are grateful that we are deeply known and deeply loved by you. Amen.